Here in Vancouver, we pretty much hate the Central Division. In Chicago and Detroit, we've got two teams that have been banes of Vancouver's existence for too long to even consider. Okay, Chicago just for 2 years. But Detroit, we've hated you for a while. I'm Jason Carrillo.
And I'm Chris Withers.
And we are Pucked in the Head. So, Chris, we're here to talk about the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah. All right. Since you don't want to do it, I will say it. Congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks on raising your first Stanley Cup banner since Stegosauruses were walking around.
Now, the great thing about this is we won't have to talk about Chicago winning another cup until 2074.
Excellent.
So, a little shout out to Ms. Blackhawk and Hockey Broad. Enjoy it while it lasts, ladies.
I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank the Detroit Red Wings. I invested in a denture cream company right prior to the season, and I am now wealthy.
And now, that is not only because you've got the oldest team in the National Hockey League, but also because quite a few of these guys have some serious orthodontic work.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Bertuzzi, for example.
For example, yes.
Yeah. Okay, Central Division, of course, we have to talk about the Blackhawks. This is still
Do we have to?
Yes, we have to, Chris. Right. Yes, we talked about this on the way here. Yes, we have to.
All right.
Chicago got 112 points last year, finished 1 point behind San Jose for the conference title.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a good team. Not as good as last year.
But here is the list of supporting cast players that the Chicago Blackhawks lost over the offseason.
Hit me.
Niemi, Madden, Versteeg, Bufflin, Ladd, Sopel, Eager, Burrish, and Fraser.
You do realize you have a breathing disorder.
I wanted to make sure I could get that all out.
Right, and it really wasn't that long. It was only about 8 seconds.
Yeah, well,
I think maybe you should start doing some cardio at some point.
I should maybe have included first names and all that. But anyways.
It is a substantial list of players that have departed the city. Now, normally, we see this kind of flotilla of players heading away. When we have a horrible team that needs to rebuild, you'll see a new GM come in, and sometimes they'll just clean house.
Yeah.
But this is not the situation. These guys won the Cup last year.
Yeah. They were really up against the cap.
Especially with some of the bonuses they had to pay out.
Because they won the Cup.
Because they won the Cup, they had huge bonuses.
The real killer, I think, was Taves winning the Conn Smythe, which earned them
another $3 million.
It was a large sum of money. So they had to basically purge their bottom six.
Right. Which they did by sending most of them to Atlanta.
To Atlanta, yeah. We spoke about that last podcast.
And, of course, Versteeg has looked pretty damn good in a Leafs uniform.
Yeah.
Now, we said that Versteeg was a third liner at best, but this is a guy who really makes the Leafs a threat on the penalty kill, and he didn't look too bad in a second-line role. So, I mean, maybe he's better than we were giving him credit for.
Yeah, it shouldn't be surprising, considering the caliber of players that he had to play behind.
Yeah, I mean, the cast that he was a member of, he's got to learn a lot from playing with those guys.
Yeah.
And he's going to have significantly more ice time now to use the tricks he learned.
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyway.
So they brought in a new cast of characters. A lot of them were youngsters in their system. Brian Bickle looks like he's going to be with the big club. Great name, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Fernando Pisani is attempting to make a comeback from some injury problems that he's had. Actually, illness.
He managed to sick his way out of Edmonton a while ago.
Yeah, and congratulations, Fernando.
Nicely done.
Cristobal Huey, I know you're a huge fan of the cap shenanigans that have gone on in the offseason, namely Huey and his $5 million a year contract being shipped off to somewhere in the Swiss League, I believe.
You listeners can't see this right now, but I'm giving Chris the evil eye.
Why?
Continued evil eye.
Okay, we've talked about contracts enough.
Yes. I think it is atrocious that the Blackhawks should be allowed to sweep it under the rug like this. I'm all for giving a guy a mulligan. Okay, I make tons of mistakes in my personal life and in my work life, and if I didn't get second chances, I'd be fired like that. The problem is that this kind of thing, we're talking about a $5 million mistake made by a general manager of a professional hockey team. This isn't the fact that I took, you know, the recycling out instead of taking the garbage out. This is a major contractual error that they should have to live with.
Yeah, the argument is that they are living with it because they still have to pay his salary. It just doesn't count against the cap. And I know that's not satisfactory for you.
Just like the Edmonton Oilers sending Sheldon Surrey, not even to their own farm team, mind you, sending him to the Hershey franchise to play for Washington Capitals minor league team. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely ridiculous. These teams should have to live with the salary cap mistakes they make.
All right. So the big question, because we all know what the top six for the Chicago Blackhawks can do. We all know what their top three or four defensemen can do.
Can Marty Turco do what Niemi did last year?
Yeah. Can he?
No.
No?
No. I think that Chicago is still going to put the fear of stink into Vancouver just because of the way that they won the last two series against them in the playoffs. But I think that over the past 4 or 5 years, Vancouver has had Marty Turco's number in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that continues.
And I don't think that they're going to be as scared of the Blackhawks.
Because
they got steamrolled by a very, very physically tough team.
Especially that bottom six.
Yeah.
But also Bufflin.
Yeah.
Who's no... I mean, does Jonathan Toews, and for that matter, does Patrick Kane, he's such a small guy... Did those guys have enough room to move and maneuver without this massive
man?
Because, on their
line? Don't forget, Bufflin didn't play with them all year.
Okay.
So during the season, Toews and Kane are still going to be Toews and Kane.
Uh huh. Who plays with them?
I think they had Hossa with them for a good chunk of last year.
Yeah, that's not a bad line mate.
No. In the regular season, I can see them just doing their thing. Come playoff time, they're, I think, going to suffer from a lot of the same problems that Vancouver has had. I don't know that they're as tough as they were.
Do you think that either Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews, or perhaps both of them, can elevate their point totals to the Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby range? Can they get up to the Alexander Ovechkin, Nick Backstrom range? Or are they going to be like 80, 90 point guys?
I think they're going to stay about where they are.
Okay.
I don't think they get as much playing time as the other guys that you'd mentioned do.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say that Patrick Kane is top five in the league in scoring at the end of the season.
Okay. I don't think that's too much of a limb. I just don't think that they'll be up with Crosby and Ovechkin.
I don't know as Jonathan Toews will be because he also... He takes the captain role very seriously. And I think he puts the captain role above the scorer role
mm-hmm.
on that team. So I think when Patrick Kane wants to play fire wagon hockey, I think Jonathan Toews backs off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say Patrick Kane is going to be the top scorer on this team this year. And I think he's going to get 105 points.
Okay.
Once again, I lost last year's hockey pool in tragic fashion. So that's how much I know about that. Anything else about Chicago?
No, we've talked about them quite enough.
How about going on to Detroit?
All right, let's do Detroit.
This is still a dangerous team.
We want to get this out of the way early before they all have to go to bed.
Right. This is a dangerous team. I don't care how many jokes you make about
they
are.
I will continue to make those jokes because they're damn funny. But
they're about as funny as Kyle Wellwood is fat jokes. And unless you can actually say Kyle Wellwood is fat in Russian now... Or at least with a Russian accent. It's not funny.
The best one I've heard is Sarah Palin can now see Kyle Wellwood from her house.
Yeah. It's very, very funny. Yes, Kyle Wellwood is fat. What a ridiculous set of jokes that is. It's always funny to make fun of Sarah Palin, though. I heard that Kyle Wellwood showed up for a Tea Party meeting in Phoenix, but he had things misunderstood.
Right.
Okay. Detroit, still a dangerous team. They've got some amazing forwards on this roster.
Mm-hmm.
Datsyuk, Zetterberg, even Bertuzzi. I mean, this is a quality hockey player when he plays well.
Franzen, another great name in Valtteri Filppula.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that name. Hoodler?
Yuri Madonna. Hoodler. Yuri Hoodler is back. He went to play in the KHL.
He got a lot more ice time.
Yeah.
And from all reports from players who were on the team when he left and who are still there, he's come back with a new toolbox. He is a better player for all the ice time that he got in the KHL.
And hopefully a new attitude. Mike Modano, again. Episode 10 of Pucked in the Head dealt with Mike Modano's recent signing with the Detroit Red Wings. I think it was a great move. And I think he is going to help that team in whatever role they play.
How much ice time do they give him?
I don't think there's room enough to give him too much.
You don't take Zetterberg off the ice to throw Modano out there.
No, but I mean, if you're playing Mike Modano as a third line center, hey.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Except for the fact that he should be playing for the Stars.
Yeah, he should be. You know what? He shouldn't be. He should be retired right now. But anyways, Jimmy Howard, great rookie campaign last year.
That's my professional opinion of Jimmy Howard.
Okay, so you think he tanks this year?
In my my umpteen years of professional goaltending experience, I can tell you that Jimmy Howard, you know, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, you do the math.
So what you're saying then is
he should play for Anaheim.
Really? Because what I thought you were saying then is that Jimmy Howard is a Calder candidate who took his team to the second round of the playoffs.
I'm just not convinced that he's the guy. Then again, this is a team that won a cup. Well, won three cups with Chris Osgood as a major part of their organization.
Yeah.
They've got Nick Lidstrom still on the back end. They've got Brian Rafalski. They're a dangerous team. If they put it together, there's so much experience. And the Detroit Red Wings, one of the great things about the Red Wings is their scouting department. I mean, this is a team that doesn't need any new draft picks to come up through their organization.
It's like they've discovered time travel.
It is absolutely amazing.
It's like they
amazing.
Can go forward 10 years and then pick those guys.
I mean, think about the roster that they had put together. And then suddenly out of nowhere, Franson happens.
Yeah.
Suddenly out of nowhere, Abdelkader happens. How does Detroit keep finding these guys?
I don't know. They pulled Datsyuk out of nowhere. He was like the last overall pick in the draft,
He was
think.
In the bottom of a bag in an equipment locker somewhere.
He
and
was,
they just pulled him out.
He was skating in like the equivalent of a decent men's league here. In Russia, when they found it.
The Detroit Red Wings have an amazing organization. Their support staff, their scouting staff, their training staff are all excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Ilitch, with his new acquisition, just buying the Pistons in the NBA, I mean, we could go either way with this. Are he and his staff going to be distracted by developing the same kind of organizational strength in the NBA franchise? Or is it just going to mean that the Pistons are going to have a stronger team?
Why would that matter?
Well, if they get distracted and that takes away from the hockey operations.
Why would it? Is Ken Holland going to be the general manager of the Detroit Pistons?
No.
Then what effect would the Suits buying another team have on Red Wings' day-to-day operations?
It really depends on how much influence Ilitch and the other organizational people in Ilitch's empire have on the operations of the hockey organization.
Not much.
So, I mean, are the financial people of the Red Wings utterly and completely separate from the financial people who are going to be looking at the Pistons?
You look at the best teams in sports. They are, generally speaking, the teams where the owners hire good people and let them do their jobs. You look at bad teams, and I'm looking at you, Charles Wang and Garth Snow. It's where management is really involved in the day-to-day operations of the team, despite not having a good hockey background.
So wait a minute. Are you saying that my lifelong dream of someday owning a hockey franchise is not a very good one?
Probably not.
I mean, besides the fact that I don't have $400 million,
Should you acquire the means to own a professional sports team, I would suggest sitting in your luxury box whilst your general manager does his job.
Okay, so what you're suggesting then is because I love the game and I want to be involved in the day-to-day operations, I should become a general manager.
There you go.
But not an owner.
Yes.
Well, where's the fun in that?
I don't know. Not having been nor expecting to be either an owner or a general manager of a professional sports organization, I haven't really pondered the question.
Well, I'm planning to start small. My first child, as you know, is due to be born in a few weeks.
Yes.
So I figure I'm going to be involved in the management of her hockey team starting in about 5 years.
Right.
And I'm going to build my way up.
So you're going to start with, I don't know, Adam or...
Whatever 5-year-old girls play on, that's where I'm going to start.
All right.
And think of the story, man. Think of the story.
You're going to be running the Victoria Salmon Kings in 15 years.
He started with 5-year-old girls' hockey teams and gradually moved his way up the ranks. And finally, he's the general manager of
He'll be able to write a book just like Bobby Ackles.
There we go. Just like Haley Wickenheiser.
There you go.
Who released a book today.
Well, what else have we got in Detroit?
Shingles.
Shingles. Now you're making age-related jokes.
I'm sorry. It was too easy. No, I think Detroit's a good team, and I think that it's going to be really difficult for Chicago to... I don't know if Chicago is going to finish 10 points ahead of Detroit like they did last year. I think Detroit's going to challenge for the division title again. It would not surprise me.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the predictions.
Nashville. I'd like to give a little shout out to Preds on the Glass.
Okay.
They are a live podcast. They go on Monday nights, predsontheglass.com, and they're out of course, Nashville, father-son team.
To do this live, good on you guys, because we sound terrible, and we have to edit this podcast extensively before it meets an acceptable standard.
What a lot of people don't know is Chris is actually a 13-year-old girl. It's all very heavily edited, a lot of effects.
It's amazing what you can do with a MacBook and GarageBand
it's
these
days. It's really, really amazing. Preds on the Glass, they do a great job down there. They're really knowledgeable fans who didn't grow up on the sport, but they've really taken to it, and they do a great job of spreading the word in Music City.
Good. I hate to rain on their parade, but I don't think Nashville's going to make the playoffs this year.
Can you give me a couple of reasons why?
Well, Dan Hamhuis out. Nashville's lost our immense gain from what we've seen so far. Well, they also lost Jason Arnott, who's been a rock for that organization for a couple of years.
And he was a captain, wasn't he?
I think he was. Yeah, they've now given it to Shea Weber, and boy, does he deserve it.
And what a great player he is.
Yeah. My favorite tidbit about Nashville. They have the grandson of one of the great all-time nicknames in sports. Boom Boom Jeffrion's grandson.
Really?
Is in the organization.
What's his name?
Blake Jeffrion. Does not look like he's actually made the big club.
But he's in the organization.
He is in the organization. And from what I understand, he had a pretty decent training camp.
Okay. Does he have a big shot?
I would hope so. He's got a legacy to live up to.
Definitely. Does he have a nickname?
That I don't know.
Because we won't really talk at length about this in the Northwest Division preview, but Ryan Perron, mm-hmm. of course, just got sent to the Canucks in the Shane O'Brien trade. Actually not related to Bernie Perrant. Pronounces his name differently. It's actually Ryan Parent.
Is it?
Yeah. And that's in the press release. It says he's not related to Bernie Perrant. He was nicknamed Bernie when he played for Philadelphia.
Of course he was.
Because it pissed him off. People called him Bernie because it bugged him. No end. But it's Parent, not Perron, and totally no relation to the all-star goaltender.
That's funny.
That's great.
Why can't hockey players do that kind of stuff more often?
You know, I think they do, but I don't think we're privy to a lot of it.
That's possible.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on the team bus that's just a bunch of guys hanging out.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we're also talking about a lot of guys who the only way that they make a nickname is they shorten it to one syllable and add E at the end.
Yes, and that's just irritating.
Tell me about Jeffsy.
Jeffsy.
Jeffrion shortened with a little Y at the end.
You know what? I don't know. He didn't make the team from what I understand. So.
Okay. Well, they've got a new defenseman in Nashville.
They do. Vancouver's own Shane O'Brien.
Right.
I understand the Roxy is going to be expanding, putting a Nashville outlet.
Right.
Catering to Nashville defensemen.
As well they should. Shane O'Brien's going to be a top four defenseman in Nashville. He's going to get lots of ice time.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a better player for it.
It's interesting. I'm just looking at a depth chart here. This particular one is rotoworld.com.
Right.
They have him listed as the number 6 defenseman.
Behind Shea Weber.
Shea Weber, Ryan Suter, Kevin Klein, Francis Bouillon, and Cody Franson.
Kevin Klein, by the way, was great in A Fish Called Wanda.
Was he?
Yes.
I don't think that was him.
I'm pretty sure it was him. Oscar winner.
Okay. Shane O'Brien can be better than that. He can also be a lot worse than that. and we've seen both during his stint with the Canucks.
And we saw both of those last year.
Yeah. So I think Cody Franson is going to really need to step up on the blue line if they're going to have a realistic shot at making the playoffs.
Right.
Ham Hughes is just, I don't think they know how much they're going to miss him yet.
Well, I mean, he was number three on the Nashville depth chart behind Suter and Weber, and he was solid.
Yeah.
Like, really, really solid for these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to end up being one or two here. I think he's going to be good for it.
I think he's number one.
If he's a number one here, and we've got a good defensive core, and he was number three in Nashville.
Yeah.
That says some things. These guys have a good defense.
They have a good defense.
Can they score, though?
I also think that they were underutilizing Ham Hughes.
He's going to get a lot more ice time here. You're right.
I don't know. The Predators have always been a score-by-committee team. They had an emerging star last year in Patrick Hornqvist, QV. He's going to need to repeat.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he quite made 30 goals, but he was close to it, if not.
Okay, I don't have Nashville stats in front of me. Sorry.
If he can get close to those numbers again, they should look okay.
Okay, so who do we have other than that?
Matthew Lombardi, who
came from Phoenix.
Came from Phoenix, and
he is fast.
He is fast, and he looks to be, right now, I think he's going to be their number one center.
Now, he's always had the same problem that Mason Raymond had in his first year. He could do things at lightning speed, but he could not handle the puck at the same time. So that's the question is, can he mitigate this, or has he learned how to handle the puck at that fast speed?
Yeah.
His skating is wonderful to behold.
They do have other pieces. They've got Martin Irret and David Legwand, who've been stalwarts in that organization for a long time.
And they've just been solid. They've just been steady.
Yep.
Right? They've never been superstars, but you're good for, you know, what, about 70 points a year?
Yeah.
60 points a year for those guys?
I think between 50 and 65, depending on how good they decide to be on any given year.
Right. I mean, Legwand, at the beginning of his career, people thought he had loads of potential. He's just a solid, solid second liner.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year, but I don't want to play them.
Here's the thing about Nashville. Last year, they did make the playoffs, of course. They almost beat Chicago, which we talked about in episode number 8, the top 5 sports endings of all time. But this year, it's not just Chicago and Detroit that's going to be fighting for points in this division.
No, St. Louis is looking very good this year.
St. Louis has a really good chance of jumping up into the playoffs.
Yeah. Now, they're going to hurt because Paul Kariya has announced that he's got to miss the entire season. And I think that's going to be career-ending for him.
Which might even be career-ending. Yeah.
Post-concussion syndrome is just something that you can't predict. He could feel better in 2 months, or he might, you know, have headaches for the rest of his life.
And they also lost a longtime guy in Keith Tkachuk.
Yeah, I would say Kariya is the greater loss.
Yeah.
Just because Tkachuk's production has been declining, and I don't think they'll really miss the 40 points or so that he put up for them.
Well, he's there more for leadership than he is for his point production. Where Paul Kariya, you got both.
Right. It's going to be about the youngsters here, as in so many of these teams that we're talking about.
But TJ Oshie is a player that, again, any GM would love to have this guy.
Yeah.
Good young player. Really like this guy. Who else have they got besides Oshie?
Well, I mean, here's the forwards that are potential game breakers on St. Louis. You've got David Backes, Patrick Berglund, Andy McDonald, David Perron, TJ Oshie, Brad Boyes, possibly BJ Krombeen, and Alexander Steen.
Now, you've got no superstars in that list, with the possible exception of McDonald.
Yeah, McDonald's got a good name around the league.
But even that's just a good name. He's not a superstar.
No, I wouldn't say that.
You've got nobody to put on posters here for the league.
Not for the league.
Right? No. That's what I mean. For the team, sure. And those guys are doing a lot of work in the community. They're doing outreach. That's great. But these are not league-selling forwards. But you just listed 8 solid young players.
Mm-hmm.
If they build around that core, they're dangerous.
That's, you know, here's the scientific measurement. All 8 of those players were taken in my hockey pool. So, yeah. Take that to the bank.
All right. So, and yeah, I mean, when you go into a hockey pool of people who know relatively what they're talking about, and you end up with the top 8 forwards on your team being taken, that's a pretty solid team.
They're going to do well. They're going to be fast. I think they're going to score quite easily.
And they were dangerous. They were even dangerous last year. I mean, they had a bunch of injuries. They had some problems there. But if they're relatively healthy, I think this is a dangerous team.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think they're a better team than Nashville, top to bottom.
Now here, we come to the secret weapon.
Which is?
Their goaltender. Last year, they really suffered because Chris Mason hit the sophomore slump, and he's gone. They bring in Yaroslav Halak.
Holy Halak!
In a still can't fathom why Montreal did this.
And may I just say that I'm really impressed with Jay Diggle, the general manager, John Davidson.
Okay.
For putting that deal together and getting Yaroslav Halak. Jay Diggle, good on you, man.
Why do you think that deal happened? Do you think that Halak told them he wasn't going to play? Or that he wasn't going to sign with them?
No. I think that someone in the Montreal Canadiens organization was looking at who could identify or be identified as saleable with the Montreal crowd. And I think long term, if Carey Price plays well, this is a guy who's a good-looking young man. He is able to deal with the microphones and with the pressure. Yaroslav Halak was a guy that, even though he won those series against Washington and against Pittsburgh, he was identified and called out in the media by Alexander Ovechkin for having a shaky hand drinking a bottle of water. That kind of even perception in Montreal is a negative one. And I don't think it was the right move, but I don't think it was based on play.
I think that deal is going to go down as one of the all-time worst in the NHL.
Really? The all-time worst?
I think that's
Barry Peterson for Cam Neely.
I think it's up there with Bertuzzi for Luongo, Peterson for Neely. I think it was a terrible deal.
Jimmy Carson for Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, maybe not that bad.
I'm just saying. I don't think it's quite that bad, and you know what?
You know what? I didn't say it's the worst. I said it's one of.
Let's give Yaroslav Halak a chance to put together more than 20 games.
He put together more than 20 games.
What, did he stand on his head from Christmas?
He won a very acceptable number of games during the regular season. He had 30 wins last year.
Okay. Is this
him? It's not like this is a guy who just won in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, he established that he can play last year.
I bet if Carey Price is the number one goaltender last year, he gets 30 wins. I mean, Dan Kluche had 40 wins with the Canucks when they had a good team in front of him. And this is the beach ball. Dan Beach Ball Kluche.
Right.
Chris Osgood, 40 wins a few years in a row with Detroit. Come on.
I still think it's a terrible deal.
I think the Montreal Canadiens made a mistake. I think Jay Diggle made a really good move. I think if Halak comes through in St. Louis, this is a playoff team.
I think they're definitely a playoff team.
Who do they have on defense?
On defense, we're looking at Eric Johnson, who's a huge contributor to the U.S. Men's National Team. Carlo Koliakovo of Leaf infamy.
And more vowels than you can shake a stick at.
Eric Brewer, who's...
Again, Team Canada.
Overpaid, but...
good depth guy. Good.
Barrett Jackman.
So they've got decent defensemen. They've got a good young crop of forwards. They've got potentially a very good goaltender. This is a playoff team.
I think it's a playoff team. You know who's not a playoff team?
Columbus! Coming from the state of Ohio.
I honestly feel bad for Scott Arneil. This is a city that doesn't care.
So is Tampa. And so is Phoenix. And so is Nashville.
Scott Arneil is coming from Winnipeg.
Right.
Who loves them some hockey. To a really, really bad team in a city that won't even care about it. I feel bad for Scott Arneil.
What about Rick Nash? You don't feel bad for Rick Nash?
He's had the opportunity to go elsewhere, if I'm not mistaken.
And Scott Arneil hasn't?
This was really the only opportunity in the NHL this year.
So what's your point?
I don't really have one. I was just commiserating with Scott Arneil. Anyways, Columbus is going to finish dead last in the Western Conference this year.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk about the Oilers in our next one in the Northwest Division. The Oilers are not going to be dead last.
No, they're not.
So somebody has to be down there. So you don't think it's Dallas, you think it's Columbus?
I think it's Columbus.
Columbus is going to have the tar beaten out of them by Detroit, by Chicago, I think by St. Louis most nights, possibly by Nashville. So if they're not getting any points in their own division, they're going to have a hard time.
You know, Dallas has some up-and-coming youngsters that have already established themselves at the NHL level,
mm-hmm.
like Louis Erickson and Jamie Benn. Columbus is just bad.
So who do they have?
Well, they reacquired Nikita Filatov, who's back from the KHL this year.
Right. Now, he was another case of attitude, right?
Yes. Their top
Of course, Rick Nash is going to be their leading scorer.
Yeah, Rick Nash. And after that, their top center is listed as Antoine Vermette. And their top left winger is listed as Christian Huselius.
Now, I mean, they're not bad players, but they're certainly not first liners.
They're third liners on a decent team.
Right.
Not good at all. And there's Fedor Tuten is listed as their top defenseman.
So what's wrong with this franchise?
I don't know. I honestly don't. They're paying money. Like, they've only got $6.5 million in cap space, these guys.
So are they having to pay extra to get people to come play for them?
That's possible. They've got some guys who have been on good teams and have made names for themselves. They've got RJ Umberger, Sammy Paulson, Huselius to some extent.
Those aren't bad players.
No, they're not bad players, but you put them together and you got an entire team of third liners. And on defense, boy. You want me to read down the defense?
Am I going to recognize any of these names?
I think you will.
All right.
As players that shouldn't be...
in the NHL?
in the NHL, or at least pulling down top 6 minutes.
All right, go.
Fedor Tuten, Jan Hayda, Chris Russell, Anton Strahlman.
Wait. Chris Russell, wasn't he on the West Wing?
He could have been. Rostislav Klesla, Mike Commodore of the Great Hair.
Well, now, he's a good guy to have on your team.
I guess so.
He's a solid guy. Again, solid in the community, solid on the back end. This is a guy who can play in all situations, and he can grow ginger hair longer than your leg.
And do you think that he can assist in bringing a franchise out of the basement?
He could probably carry a refrigerator out of the basement.
It's a bad team.
Okay.
Bad. Bad. And
that's it? That's all you got?
That's all I've got.
All right, so let's get into predictions. I'm calling the Detroit Red Wings to win this division this year. I'm also calling the Chicago Blackhawks to finish in second place. St. Louis is going to finish in third, and all three of those teams are playoff teams. I am going to say that the Central Division winner, Detroit, is going to finish in third place in the conference, which will put Chicago at either number four or number five. That's going to put St. Louis somewhere in either 6, 7, or 8, okay, in the conference. Okay. I am calling Nashville to just miss the playoffs. I'm very sorry, Preds on the Glass. And Columbus. Yeah, you know what? I got nothing to really say that you're not right. I mean, Columbus is going to be really close to the basement in that division because the Oilers, who were the only team to finish below them last year, have improved greatly. Columbus really hasn't.
So we are basically on the same page.
Okay.
I am just going to go and say, though, that Detroit is going to win the conference.
Really?
I think they are going to... Yeah, I think the age is not going to catch up with them quite yet.
Wow. Well, you do know that, of course, 2 years running, the Detroit Red Wings went deep into the playoffs, went to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
If you look at the games played over the last three seasons, because last year they were ousted in the second round by the San Jose Sharks, they had a significantly longer rest over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
A very old roster had almost no rest for 2 years running. And last year, they had two extra rounds. That's a full month extra of rest for guys like Nick Lidstrom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a dangerous, dangerous team. Again, if they stay healthy, dangerous. And like you said, when they're throwing Mike Modano out on a third line, holy cats.
It's a really good team.
This is a really good roster.
They might have to use walkers to get from the bench to the dressing room, but...
Hey, Mario Lemieux couldn't even tie up his own skates.
Yeah.
After his surgery, but then he would go out and get 5 points in a game.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Central Division is going to go to the Detroit Red Wings after they lost the title briefly to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Thanks very much for joining me, Chris.
Always a pleasure, Jason.
That was the Central Division preview. You can follow me on Twitter. I am Pucked in the Head.
I'm Chris Withers, and you can reach me at Chris_Withers on Twitter. Or you can go to our actual website at PuckedInTheHead.com. Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling
this cane. I'm only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like a happy nap by my train. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls and cannons on the Spanish main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain.
Who did he buy?
Now, wait a minute. What is it? He already owned the Red Wings, and was it the MLB that he already owned? Or did he already own the Pistons? Because whichever one he didn't own before, he just bought.
Oh, okay.